Hello, my name's Philip, and I want to welcome you to this 6:33 podcast based on Matthew 6:33, Seek First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness. I hope you'll enjoy this podcast. I hope it'll help and encourage you in your walk with Jesus and in your leadership of others. God bless you. Promise and experience. Like me, you probably know what it feels like when you believe God had promised you something, but it hasn't happened yet. And the promise seems so long ago that you begin to feel like it probably never will happen. At times like this, our hope fades and we start to doubt our ability to hear God. We start to fear getting our hopes up enough to even want to receive another apparent promise from God. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, says the writer of Proverbs, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. My word, don't you and I know what that sickness feels like of hope that never actually comes to pass? It leads us to questions and statements like, what's the point? Why bother? Just plod on, God hasn't got anything for me. Or just don't get your hopes up anymore. God probably never spoke to me anyway. Things like that, and on and on. Sometimes our experience defies the promise we were anticipating. I often say something like this, life's tough sometimes. And for some people, of course, it is. It's tough most of the time. Let's not kid ourselves or look at things through rose-coloured glasses. Life is tough sometimes. And I say this because I know it, and I'm aware that others have known it even more than me. As people, we live through periods where things are comfortable and other times when they are very uncomfortable. Christians can fool themselves or be fooled into thinking that the times of comfort, ease, plenty and so on are times of God's blessing, and that times of hardship, sickness, things going wrong are times when His blessing's been removed from our lives. We can read the Bible and imagine ourselves in those times because it seems that in places the Bible equates blessing with plenty, comfort, getting on well, and times of no blessing, or of cursing even, as periods of hardship and discipline. I think that's a poor reading of the Bible. Please bear with me if you think I'm wrong or going off track somewhere. But let me take you to Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet. He had a hard time. Since God called him to take his message to the Jewish people, most things went pretty wrong for him. Yet he was actually absolutely in the place God wanted him to be, so he was living in God's blessing. I can't imagine that for Jeremiah it always felt like it, though. In Jeremiah 17, we read some verses. I'm going to look at just a few of them for a few moments. Verse 5, Jeremiah 17. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Then in verse 10, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Now, here we face a challenge. Understanding this in the context it was written and not transferring an Old Testament meaning carelessly into our own day, which is a New Testament situation, this probably is one of our biggest issues as Christians. Sloppy reading, which results in sloppy theology or belief about God, which produces sloppy Christian lives. In a nutshell, what Jeremiah writes here is true, but not completely true, or not always completely true. Let me try to explain. First, there's that word cursed. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Well, does God spend his time cursing people when they get things wrong? No. There are two things for us to think about when we look at this. God declared to Adam and Eve after they'd rebelled against him in the garden that they had themselves chosen to live under a curse, that of their own imperfect, inadequate wisdom and the influence of Satan, their adversary, rather than under his grace, his love, and his provision. It's that reality Jeremiah is speaking of here. If we simply trust our own human ability to work things out, it will go wrong sooner or later, and it will feel like we're being cursed for making those mistakes. But that's not the case. Secondly, today, we live at the other side of Jesus' death. The other side than Jeremiah and his contemporaries did. Paul, the apostle, writes that Jesus took the curse for us in Galatians 3:13. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. So you see, for us, any fear of God's curse coming on our lives is gone if we're trusting in and following Jesus. Jeremiah goes on to say that if people trust in God, their lives are secure. They're provided for through him, no matter what the circumstances, even difficult times. Verse 7 of this chapter 17. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. In terms of living under God's blessing, both Old Testament and New Testament agree, it's as we trust God, lean into him and allow him to lead our lives, that we can experience his blessing, regardless of whether life sends us a difficult time or not. So you see, there is a greater truth in the good news of Jesus than we see at work in the Old Testament experience of God's people. This is why the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament takes so much time to explain that Jesus brought us a better covenant or agreement with God than the Old Testament demonstrated. Just read the first few chapters of Hebrews to find out what he says. The other key element of the better good news is that it no longer depends on how well we do, but on how well Jesus did at living his life and through his death in defeating sin and death. So let's go back and look a little bit further at what Jeremiah had to say, because this is where we see something of the hard time he was having. In verse 15 of Jeremiah 17, he writes this. People scoff at me and say, "What is this message from the Lord you talk about? Why don't your predictions come true?" And Jeremiah says to God, "Lord, I've not abandoned my job as a shepherd for your people. I've not urged you to send disaster. You've heard everything I've said. Lord, don't terrorize me. You alone are my hope in the day of disaster." What a fascinating thought that this great prophet of God, one of the heroes of the Bible, almost accused God of terrorizing him. Or as the NIV has it, "Don't be a terror to me. You're my refuge in the day of disaster." I don't think I have ever said or even thought that God was terrorizing me, but Jeremiah clearly got pretty close to it. Such was the hard time he was experiencing. Hard times come to God's people. God promised to make Jeremiah a prophet to nations, but he struggled with this call. He struggled with the opposition and the antagonism from the rest of God's people of his day. The promise from God and the experience he lived just didn't seem to be matching up. And isn't it the same for us sometimes? But Jeremiah finishes with this phrase, "You alone are my hope in the day of disaster." You alone are my hope in the day of disaster. You see, disasters will come and probably go, but through them all, God can give us hope. He can be our hope, even when the promises we're holding on to don't resonate with our experience. Charles Spurgeon, a great Baptist minister of a century ago, wrote, "The path of the Christian is not always bright with sunshine. He has his seasons of darkness and of storm." How very true. We have our seasons, our times, when life sucks, it isn't pleasant, it's hard, it's tough, and we don't like it. Well, I want to do two things here. First, to help us to see where God is and what he's doing when life is difficult for us, and to help us to avoid the idea that his blessing is only seen in good time. There are Bible verses like these to encourage us. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Proverbs 3:17. But this is talking about our gaining and growing in wisdom, not that the whole of life is easy. The next chapter of Proverbs 4, verse 18 says this: the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But this is about living or walking in the right ways of God and avoiding evil, not some expectation that everything will always go well with us or will always get better and better and better. Psalm 23 gives us some wonderful words about lying down in green pastures, being led by still waters, about God refreshing our souls. But this psalm is rooted in being led by God, walking in his paths or living his way, and also at the same time knowing shadow times and encountering enemies, but that even in these times we can know his presence. Good times or bad, we can actually know God's goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Or listen to Moses' words to the people of Israel when he was unpacking the lessons of the 40 years that they'd spent wandering in the wilderness before getting to the land that God had promised them. Listen to his words. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone, rather we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out, your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplined you for your own good. That's Moses speaking in Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 to 5. Look, Moses talks about 40 years. That was an average lifespan then. In other words, the whole of life is an experience of growth. God getting to know us and we getting to know him experientially, not simply in terms of information. Life is an experience of learning to trust him, of being humble with him, not humiliated by him. Learning to live the way he asks his people to live. And he does this by allowing us to go through circumstances where we have to choose again and again to go his way and do his will, his good and perfect will. To be able to care for and steward well all that he has given to us through Jesus. Life is an interactive experience of living in God and of becoming increasingly like Jesus. And when you look at the experience of the church in the New Testament, if they're a model for us today, we can't imagine everything is going to go well without difficulty or opposition. It certainly didn't for them. The Apostle Paul says to some of the first churches that he founded, when he was strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, he says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. The Bible nowhere teaches us to expect a trouble-free life, nor will it allow us to think good times are God's blessing and bad times are when he's fallen out with us or we've done something wrong that he's angry about. Don't say, if I were a real or I were a better Christian, this wouldn't be happening to me. That simply isn't the truth. Sometimes, especially early in our developing relationship with Jesus, he shelters us from some of the difficult stuff. But later on he doesn't, because he knows as we grow stronger in our faith, we'll face bigger battles and therefore see greater victories. You cannot have a victory if you don't first have a battle. And in those times, he doesn't withdraw, but he allows us to feel the heat of the battle, the challenge of the difficulty. But Philip, you say, he doesn't seem close in those times. It feels like he's left me. Well, remember that he said this: I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? That's in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. And these words are also preceded by encouragements to live right with God and before other people. And in that context of living righteously, that is God's promise to you, to never leave you, never fail you. Our part in those times when it feels like the difficulty or the storm has robbed us of his presence and his promise is to make the brave declaration, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. Now that is exercising faith. Faith isn't seen in doing or saying the right thing when times are good. Faith is demonstrated most in doing and declaring the right things in the face of opposition and hard times. But if you begin to fear that God's presence seems to be absent because of sin, then the solution is simple and it's speedy. 1 John 1 verse 9 it says, if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. This is just another declaration, declaring that what God calls sin, you will call sin. That's called confession. And for the believer, confession leads immediately to forgiveness and cleansing. The Lord Jesus is no further away when you sin or when times are difficult than he is when times are great and prayer and praise come easily to our lips. He is always right at your side. What changes is our awareness of him. You see, in all of this, it's important that we understand how God works in our lives, how much he loves us, that we understand the reason and the purpose for the hard times to build our faith. It's important that we understand how to operate in faith and not fear, and to grasp the power of our declarations of faith, because they will all help to restore a sense of his presence and will mean that his promises of blessing are not lost or forgotten when our experiences of life don't always match up. So let's pray together right now. Father, I pray for those who are listening, who are finding that the promises that they thought they'd received from you are not matching up with the experiences that they're going through. Father, I pray for them that you will lead them to trust you, lead them to remember that you've promised that you'll never fail them, you will never leave them, that Jesus has said that nothing and no one can pluck us from his hand. Lord, I pray that those hard times, those difficult times, will be the things that enable us to strengthen faith, to trust in you, to lean into you, and to display your glory more powerfully and more effectively. So help us, Lord, comfort us, give us your peace, let us know your presence, and where sin breaks into our lives, may we run to you for forgiveness again and for restoration. But, oh Lord, help us to know that your promises never fail, though our experiences change day by day by day. Father, fill us with your Spirit, that we might rejoice in knowing you, living with you, and walking in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening to this 633 podcast. I really hope it's helped you and encouraged you as you've listened. May you be blessed as you continue your walk with Jesus, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness.